Diving deeper into a theme that's come up in past episodes, but today we're really going to be talking about self-mastery after I put my baby down because he's not accepting of my squish.
Baby bunkin.
So today I'm joined by Quitty Cat and Aeon Magdalena once again. We're podcasting from Fallbrook, California in our lovely friend Nikki's home, who might be popping in at some time. So if you guys hear a new voice, that is our friend Nicole Mendoza.
And her baby.
Yes. So let's jump right in. Self-mastery. What does that mean? Where are we going here?
Mm-hmm. Both of us, Quitty and I, look at each other like, you go ahead.
So we dished our hands.
Well, I wanted to name this episode You Do You, Bro.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what we'll name it, but...
Pretty much the theme.
Totally.
To me, it's about... Okay, so I can describe an experience where someone...
Baby Cass, you're cool.
You're cool.
You're baby.
Someone thought that I was, like, mad at them for something they had done, like, a month after... And my Brilliant. Response to that was, no beef here, you do you, bro. And that was really upsetting to them because for reasons I could not imagine. Now I can totally understand it, but my point was, I'm not going to sit with your discomfort mm-hmm. any longer than the experience of what it was.
Yeah.
Once that experience is over, I'm unattached.
Like, yeah.
I don't care what you do, how you do it, or whatever. Like, I'm moving on, and I'm not going to hold on to those negative things where clearly that person still was and, like, felt like we needed to work through something.
Mm.
But I didn't feel that.
Yeah, I think a lot of the time that we experience these disconnects or the discord in relationships, it's, I was... Yeah, this is actually kind of embarrassing. So I did Landmark, but it was a great experience.
That's not embarrassing.
Totally embarrassing. But anyway, it's like something that I remember was them talking about. There's four conversations going on when you're having a conversation between two people. The conversation they're having with you, the conversation you're having with them, the conversation they're having in their head with themselves, and the same with you having a conversation in your head. Yes. And I think that's the self-mastery we're speaking of is being able to be like so present with whatever is happening. That we're not bringing the past into it and we're not concerning about the future. It's like, what are we dealing with right in front of us? And being really responsible for whatever kind of story we have in our mind about an event that occurred or about somebody else's response to something, because we really don't know what's going on over on that end. All we can do is manage what's going on inside of ourselves to handle whatever came up. And that's something I've been personally dealing with in my own life is having to really get that I've been stuck in the past, that I will try to excuse my own behavior through being stuck in the past and the things that I experience, old wounds or what have you, but how non-productive that is for my own life and growth as well as for whoever else is involved on the other end of that. You know, if I really want to transform my life on all fronts, then I'm going to have to be accountable for what's going on inside of my head and body. Casse boy agrees.
He agrees. And that really is it. Is like, I want to say that the answer to everything is you.
Exactly.
That's what we're dealing with in our generation. I think that's something that the older generations, maybe baby boomers and previous... with the exception of a small few, you know, didn't have that awareness. And our generation and in younger generations, having that awareness, it gives you so much power to really create your life how you want it to be, despite what, you know, you might perceive other people will be feeling about that. And it's really, how do you feel about that? How do you feel inside yourself? Are you willing to stand firm and in your own power, you know, through maybe some interactions with others that would generally like give you a reason to explode or to react in a way that was also negative, you know, that doesn't leave anybody coming up on an uplifting tip. And I think that's like what I'm dealing with in my life at 31 is being like, wow, I really need to take responsibility for that and be working and in practice on leveling up how I respond to the outside stimuli, you know, because
the reaction
for sure,
and having some mindfulness in the way we react to there are outside forces, there are things, and so many will argue like, okay, like you don't need to react in that way, that's actually causing more harm to you. And I often hear the logic of, well, it's wrong, or well, it was, you know, like always trying to justify the situation. But if you're really living in a space that you're grateful for what you have and what's around you, regardless of what it is or how it is, then it just doesn't matter. And it's not serving you to try and teach someone a lesson or to try and, you know, create this level playing field or create fairness. Like, that's not serving you.
Yeah, and it's definitely not our job. That's the job of the cosmos. And the cosmos will do that for us as well. And will check us on that when we feel like we need to step in and be that person. It's like, no, we need to be that person for ourselves, not for somebody else.
Right.
Totally. Actually, I experienced a really great event some weeks ago. The Free the Nipple Yoga with my girl Danielle Dorkey. Right. I did Reiki there. The theme for this one in particular was Black Lives Matter. Really opening a safe space for everyone to bring feelings forward. And even as I was sharing, like, the epiphany I was having was, you know, my impact as a human being, it does always come back to me and self-responsibility and looking at the holograph of reality happening around me and what it's revealing to me. And again, you know, seeing the violence in the world, the injustice and whatnot, it's really, the epiphany for me is really understanding how imperative it is for me to be an anchor of the energy that directly counters that. An anchor of nurturing, an anchor of full accountability for how I behave in the world, how I think and act and interact with people. You know, and I mean, we see this on social media all the time. Like, there's so much feeling and expression people are putting out there, and at the end of the day, we have a choice to what image we post and what words we post and how we speak to people. And I'm getting more and more each day, it's about going inside and making a very clear choice to be the thing that I'm here to be, that counters all the things that disturb me disturb my soul, you know. And I have no control over, say, men in other countries throwing acid on women's faces. Like, I'm not there. I couldn't possibly imbue, you know, like, what I would do in the situation, because I have no idea. All I can do is be accountable for how I wake up in the morning and how I speak to my family, how I nurture my friends, how I shop, who do I spend my money with, what am I buying?
Wow, yeah.
What am I buying into?
These are really practical
energetically
things that people can do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you go through your day, you go through life. In my business, I'm constantly dealing with the he said, she said, or this was how the story went. And I don't want to seem insensitive, but I also, it's not that I don't care, it's that I'm unattached to your story because it's yours.
Yeah,
and you can try and convince, you can try and teach me your story, but it doesn't mean that there's a right or there's a wrong. Like, it just is. If you feel good in the situation and you feel like you had some resolution, then that's the end of your story. It doesn't have to be passed on to me. I don't then have to filter it and do this and keep it going. Like, I found my biggest job within my business is to try and bring some sort of, like, try to be a listening person that can just absorb it and not keep the ball rolling on dramatic situations.
Yeah, a place for it to stop.
Diffusing
and
the drama.
And be like, all right, that's that. That's now done.
I mean, isn't that what we want? Everybody's, I feel like our generation is very much in an uproar, as we should be. And at the same time, I'm like, okay, I can sit here and be mad at the government for so many reasons or whatever, whatever kind of entity you imbue your anger upon. However, at the end of the day, how am I shaping reality in my little corner of the world as a little speck of dust on this blue dot?
Well, I thought it was interesting when you were talking about being able to choose what images you post, what words you write, and I was thinking about how, like, this is the collective conscious mind over the internet, totally. And how we have to choose what pictures we post in our minds and what words we're posting to ourselves.
On our feed.
And on our own feed, and how, like, that's a choice, and there's a responsibility there.
And how powerful that looks to look back on your feed. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've said this to girls, is like, I don't care what you post on your feed. Mm-hmm. Say someone's like comes to work for the salon, but I see like a lot of maybe offensive material or material that maybe your 60-year-old client who's slightly conservative, but you really get along and you really like them. You're kind of like, if you looked at your own feed, who would you feel good about everyone seeing that? Mm-hmm. And I've had to do that edit in my life where I had to decide what really am I, what can I support that feels authentically me, because I have family that follows me, I have clients that follow me. And like just recently I was like, I'm not offended by the word fuck. And if you are, like, I'm sensitive to that. I'm not going to say fuck you. But if I'm using that, if I'm using profanity in my own life, in my own world, and I'm choosing to put that out there, and that offends you, then I'm gonna trust you to use your best judgment in deciding if I'm someone you want to be close to.
Yes.
Because I think there's this element of, we put things out there wanting a specific result, whether we want to look fun, whether we want to look sexy, whether we want to be a specific way. If that is so truly you, then yes, go for it. But if you have to sit there and think about your what you're writing and like who's going to read this and how are they going to perceive me, then maybe you're...
My God, cats are so freaking cute.
Just ripping a fern.
Hey, I used to rip ferns.
Then maybe you need to look at that. And like, are you really putting you out there, or are you editing a person that you want people to see you as?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yes. It's deep.
I was actually having that, like, I was looking at my Instagram because I feel like I do want to do some more honing in on,
you know, just focusing on the work that I'm doing. And it's shifted a lot, obviously, because, you know, I'm switching out from dancing, whatever. So I was looking at old posts and being like, yeah, a lot of people actually responded to this. There was a lot of engagement, whatever. Like, how do I feel about that now? And I think, like, at the end of the day, too, like, we can't undo the past, and so I don't need to be ashamed of it. But yeah, like, moving forward, do I want to, you know, take better care and be authentic without feeling like I'm being, you know, douchey or whatever? But also, there's just the part of, like, whatever was there in that moment, and you could change your mind 6 minutes later, and, you know, whatever. Who cares?
Edit, delete.
Yeah. So... bringing us back to what we had kind of started with is, when you are living your truth and you are allowing yourself to truly focus on your own joy and your own gracious living, how important it is to be a listener, truly. And some points that I want to cover with that is, what are the thing? What does it take to really be a good listener? And a listener isn't... I think oftentimes when someone comes to us and they want to tell us something, you're the listener, but that prompts a response.
Yeah.
and what that looks like to say, like, I'm not going to respond. I'm going to drop the need to fix that person or to fix anything, really.
Right. Yeah.
So, Quiddy, I feel like that's something you really excel in.
Oh, thank you. I don't know. We were talking about this earlier in the car, actually. The difference between someone who inquires with genuine interest in a human being versus someone who inquires with a preconceived judgment. And, you know, has that energy of I'm loaded with, you know, a voyeuristic kind of perspective on your life, and I think it's some way, and I want a confirmation or not. For me, I take a genuine interest from a heart space in human beings and what they're going through, and I think that's just because, you know, I seek connection on a heart level, and I want to be embraced and received by others. So I work to give people what I work to give myself, which is space and room to be human. You know, removing the need to overly analyze it, to kind of fix myself for something. And two, you know, I notice, like, there's times when somebody might come to me and want my feedback. I kind of dial in and tune into a person. Yeah.
Baby Cove!
That's Cove. He's feeling the vibe.
Fresh three-monther. I get it.
Oh my God. Cass is coming in hot for him.
Cass is having a good old time.
Cass is with, like, his cuz. I'm going to be your big friend.
I'm going to be your big friend.
Such a sweetheart. I love it. Our podcast is rad.
Fruit of thought, fruit of the womb.
This is fruit of the womb right like here. That. Fruit like of the womb edition.
I love that my big bruiser is just like making babies cry. It's like, you guys are the same. Stop.
I know, right?
But he's coming from a space of such curiosity and like interest. And right? Like, so fresh.
I know.
But yeah, I love what you were saying.
Well, I mean, that goes with that. It's like, mm-hmm. Cass is inquiring upon Cove because he really just wants to know.
He's interested.
Him. Yeah. But he has no, like, it's not like he wants to teach him a lesson or, mm-hmm. you know.
It's funny how we want to know things, you know, like as if the knowing of that thing is going to somehow fix something or make it better, when it's just like, no, this is more information to process and analyze. That's not really solution-based thinking. We don't need to know.
You know, it's great. I saw a great quote. It was a little blippet that Nayira Wahid wrote. And I loved it because it resonates with my soul, where it's like, you don't always need to give an opinion to something, you know, but of course in her beautiful, fluid poetry. But essentially that was the message. And I feel like the same comes to listening. You don't always have to offer some kind of feedback or your personal analysis. Sometimes it's just about holding space, being a container of safety for somebody to share some shit with you. And I feel like that for me is, I feel natural in that. I get so much value out of being the safe space for a person, because I get so much value out of somebody being my safety.
And when we were prepping for this episode, we were talking about, like, that's where a therapist comes in.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, if you're I think that it's so common now to spread your problem or your challenge thin over your five best friends, your mom, your cousin, and your sister.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, there's no room for any healing or any process because everyone's got their opinion on it. And now you're scared to go with one opinion over the other because then that person's going to say you did the wrong thing. And it's like, if everyone just had a fucking therapist and went to them and then...
a place I could dump and get some real objective feedback, definitely... I've done that, you know, like, you guys know all about my, you know, baby daddy stuff, and, like, we're in flux, and there's things going on that I could have not predicted, and they're really actually checking my ass on that, and being able to be like, yeah, what kind of story am I creating, or picture of my painting for this person. And, you know, it's funny because I think, too, like, as adults or even people growing up, we have these moments where there's a breakdown with a friendship or a coworker or a significant other, and we really do this thing where we project all of the unwanted, undesirable attributes of being a human onto that person as if we don't contain those ourselves. And then,
well, with some kind of finality, like, right, this is it.
Like, they're absolutely a piece of shit. And it's just, like, that's not really the reality, you know? Like, we all came here on this planet to unravel our soul's journey and to pursue that, you know, without really knowing what that is, obviously, because, like...
Okay, I want to stop you because that really brings me to this huge feeling that I've felt in surrounding this is... If I take whole responsibility for myself and my success, personally and financially or in business, and I make that commitment, that is my trajectory. I'm going to see that through. What?
Oh my God.
That was a bite.
Cassie boy.
And, whereas you can see, I think a big challenge is the times and the people who you get to this place. And you know that if you did X, you would get whatever it is you're working on. Mm-hmm. So we could stop and be like, okay, well, that's actually your job to do that for me or something. Or like even in the business I work in, we're building a clientele. We've talked about this. It's like, if I'm building my clientele, I'm building my clientele.
Exactly.
Nobody can build my clientele for me because no one is me.
Exactly.
Which is a really hard circle to be in because it's like you know, I can think in the past, like when I've left past jobs, I inevitably lost a lot of clients because maybe they were going to that salon and they just happened to get fed to me. Mm-hmm. But the people who came with me are my nearest, dearest, greatest clients who've become friends, and they came with me because they were seeing me.
Exactly. Right.
And that is so much more valuable than what anyone else could hand me.
Right.
Exactly. And so I'm learning that flows across all of life.
Right.
It's like, I can have a problem with the way someone else does something because they don't do it like me. But at the end of the day, they do it how they do it on their timeline.
Right.
And me being attached to wanting to change that is not serving me and never will.
Right.
So for me to truly ever feel better about that situation, I really have to let go of how anyone does what they do.
Right. And really looking and, you know, I know I said this earlier, but turning that around on yourself, like whatever those criticisms or complaints are. And I feel like, you know, I've had so many things to point at outside of me as to why I am where I'm at, you know, and I really just get that I'm like, it's me. It's my mentality. It's my blockages. And I don't need to add insult to injury by, you know, further crapping on myself about it. It's more just like that beautiful space of like, I get to take the reins here and enjoy the fucking ride and just really go for it. And absolutely, like as a service provider, you do need to handle building your own client base. Totally. And that means building relationships yourself. Yes. I don't trust anybody else with that. I might trust somebody to do, you know, you pay somebody to help you with some marketing tools or materials or whatever. But the real job is hitting your feet on the fucking pavement and going and talking to people, sharing what you do.
And then in relationships, so like you said, you've been on your ups and downs. You've filled, Quithy knows so much about your relationship. I've seen so much of your relationship from you.
Right.
I don't know your partner. I don't know, I'm not in your relationship. So there's constantly the need where there could be the person who says, well, I care about you, so I'm going to share my opinion.
Yeah.
Or my opinion matters because I care so much about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, like, drop it. It doesn't actually matter.
Well, you were saying before that it doesn't help that person's personal transformation with it. Your input, the outside input, it's the internal process that really gets people to, like, come to the place of making those changes.
And it's like we've been conditioned to think that, you know, the other conversation that happens is like, well, I told her, so we'll see what she does. And it's like, now we've created this parameter. We've created this parameter to almost like get someone we care about and love in trouble if they don't do what we think they should do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
So yeah, letting everybody have their process, not making them wrong for it, is something that's been really engendering peace in our household. And I love that. And I remember reading a book, you know, called like the five, I don't know, steps to an adult relationship. And it was like, yeah, the allowing part, allowing people the space to be who they are, do things how they do it. And I think we get into relationships with people thinking like, okay, you need to conform to my worldview. And that's just unrealistic. And no wonder why we have so much of this, you know, chaos and conflict going on. Because we're not here seeing people as they are and accepting that. We're here being like, I have expectations you need to fill. You're not filling them.
Oh, I walk through in and out of them every single day. Right. So like, just with what we're doing in our yard right now, we're trying to clear our yard and do it this certain way. And at least once a week, I'm like, the bottom line is you're fucking up. Yeah. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
It's like, I made up that bottom line.
Yeah.
I fucking pulled that one out of my butt and was like, that's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Like, Brandon doesn't know my bottom line.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, he got out there last night after we got off our prep phone call and, like, cleared the whole backyard.
He's amazing.
Where I'm like, truly. I wouldn't do that at night. Honestly.
I totally get it. Gardeners. Yeah. That's how we do.
Mine's, like, during the day, sweating, actionable, like, this is my timeline. I want it done by sunset. I'm so my father's daughter in that way. Where
oh my god!
Like, if you're fucking up, you're fucking up, and I'm gonna tell you.
Oh my god! I love it.
So I've been like biting my tongue and like you were saying earlier. If I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna choose to do it for me, and I'm gonna do it with joy.
Exactly.
And if I do that, and I did during the day, not to say that that's what ignited Brandon to finish his part of it, but it's like during the day. I got out there and I was moving rocks. It's like, yeah, there might be some curse words because it's hot, but I was like feeling it. I'm like wheelbarrowing stuff out, like feeling strong. He came through at night with his part of it and he finished clearing the yard, and it was so satisfying and so cool. I'm like, wow, we both powered up.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the same. It wasn't how I would have done it. I would never do it how he does it. And right. I really just had to look at that and go like, that's fine.
Let's appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where totally. Normally I'm like moving in with my mom for a week. You screwed up. You didn't do things how I think you should do things.
My God.
Right?
Put your shoes away.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I love it.
I mean, that's so funny because I think that's even something in our culture that's there where like there is this archetype of like the husband who needs to be fucking told what to do and how damaging that can be, or, you know, whatever archetype it is that is just not healthy. Yeah. It makes somebody stupid or makes them wrong or whatever. And being able to ditch those and acknowledge the conditioned programming in our head of how we think things should be and really clear it and make space for whatever it actually is. And,
yeah,
and
I mean, see the beauty in that. The reality of it is women are much better at doing a lot more things.
Oh, man.
You're like, let's just,
we are, let's just cut to the chase there. And in ancient times, they knew that. And now we're kind of remembering that. But I think, you know, finding that there is, yeah, there's a masculine archetype and feminine and all that. And yeah, being a mom, having a human on your tit after it shot out your gyne or was C-sectioned from your shit is kind of like, you know what, look, if I can do that, I would like you to step your game up. That's kind of the feeling sometimes I have about,
yeah,
you know, that.
Well, yeah, it's like we're biologically formed to take on more than just our own shit.
Okay, but think about that, though. Rather than saying anything, what you were just saying and what you were going there is like, we are this, and what is... So one thing someone can take away, rather than using their like eloquent, like stylized verbiage mm-hmm. to try and get somebody to do something they want, mm-hmm. it's the actionable items that actually inspire more action.
Yeah, and so I think too, as women,
walk the walk, like go do it, and only do it if it makes you feel good. But if you're out there feeling good, you're powered up, you're living your purpose.
Yeah.
The people that are supposed to be there are going to catch on. They're going to vibe on that. Yeah. And they're going to get some shit done with you.
Well, I was even having this next level of thought of, like, as women, like, we came into this life with that. That is, like, our knowing and responsibility if we choose to rear children. Like, that is the jam, you know? And to not be like, well, dudes need to be X, Y, and Z because I do this. It's like, no, we already know we do that. We don't need to, like, smear it. That's what we came here to do, slay this shit. And they're going to do their part, you know? And it's going to be rad. Because there's things that dudes do that I just don't want to fuck with. And I'm like, thank you for doing that.
Thanks for building stuff.
Thank you so much for making this possible. Actually, I had this really beautiful conversation with my homegirl. And she does skincare. And she's all up in the herbs. And just lives that life. And she was like, you know, I was with a shaman or, you know, medicine man. I don't forget, like, the specific word she used to describe this person. But an indigenous dude that was leading a ceremony. And he was just talking about women not praying for career or financial things. It's like women are about praying for a stable, secure home space and family, because from that everything arises. And I feel like that's the thing that men traditionally can offer, is creating that home safe space, you know, whether that's energetically or actually physically, financially, you know, so that we can do the work that we came here to do as women and mothers and the matriarchs that, you know, make this world go around with this pussy, okay? Like, we do.
We.
If you're here, you came from vagina, respect it.
Put some respect on it.
Respect it.
But yeah.
What is one thing that someone could, in trying to transition to a being of listening and trying to transition into a being of non-judgment and concern with the self, what is one thing that you could say would be an easy thing for them to do to start practicing that?
I feel, for me personally, sitting quietly and giving myself space to listen to my own head, like, and to listen to my body, and to just kind of, like, tap into me. I think we have so many things that we do that we perceive as, this is me relaxing, or this is me taking stress off. And I think a lot of it is actually just numbing, overstimulating, this and that. If we could just stop for a moment, sit in a quiet spot, it doesn't have to look like the lotus position meditation, like, just to be,
no namaste, to be in quiet here.
To be quiet and still, I think everyone can access that. It's just like, are you willing? You know,
I think that, you know, we talked about gratitude, and I know that's like a catchphrase word that's been really, like, hot these days, but the shit is real, you know, like, being thankful is truly amazing, because it takes all of those things that we worry our heads with and puts it in perspective, you know. Like, I was just at the mall, and I had brought Dante to this place to go play, like, went nuts and ballistic and whatever, and I walked out of there, and I see this mother and father with their child in a very specialized kind of stroller situation with a tank attached to it and tubes coming out of this child. And I was just like, wow, you know, like, that's heavy as a parent to see that and think about what, you know, somebody might go through if you are that person or that child, plus the family members, you know, and just being like, oh my gosh, let me just remember how great my shit is right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, sending love and vibes and all that, because, you know, that's the first instinct I have. But yeah, just thankful for what's here. I got this really amazing able body, and I can do things. I can run around, you know, my son's healthy. I live in a beautifully supportive environment. You know, yeah, things are, there's some things that I'm, like, working on. I'm a work in progress, but I can be thankful, and I can just sit with that and let that bring me peace.
Totally.
Like, so sitting in peace, living in a state of graciousness.
Yeah.
I think for me, mine would be a little bit more actionable, in the sense of the next time you feel like you need to defend a decision you made or a judgment you're making, to just stop. So again, it would include a pause and let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, fully, like, the next time you feel like you have to give a yes but, or a why, or a but they did this, or any of those feelings where you're defending something, just stop, take a deep breath, and don't add your 2 cents.
Mm.
Sometimes dropping the 2 cents will help you make sense of a situation.
Yeah.
And that would be like, that's an actionable item that for me I'm working on. I even work on it with Cass. Like when I think like, oh, he's not going to do that because this, I've stopped myself and just, why am I deciding what he's going to do? I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
So yeah. I need to let him live and let him be and observe him and listen to him. That's my job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's, yeah, that's a great place to start all those things.
Well, you know, when we talk about mastery, like that mastery of the mind and the self, yeah, that's an amazing thing to be able to stop yourself from saying something that even though you might feel righteous in is going to create more discord and disconnection. Like, how can we be more connected?
Well, and I think mastery can be a scary word because it sounds like it takes a long time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's like a moment-to-moment choice.
It is. It's completely momentary. And, I mean, that's why a lot of people drink. If you find yourself drinking heavily, it's usually because you're trying to live in the moment.
Yeah.
Where there's far, like, deeper and more powerful ways to live in the moment. It's hard when you're fighting with that. But, I mean, we all just, in prepping for this, we talked about, actually, that Tony Robbins, when he was on the Tim Ferriss podcast.
That podcast was lit.
Yeah. If you guys have a chance, check that out. It's, like, one of the most recent episodes.
Achievement versus Fulfillment is the name of the episode. Yeah.
And it's with Tony Robbins. But he talks about one of his big, most powerful, like, moments where he had this woman with multiple personality disorder, and he was able to bring her to that truth of... like, the shift can happen in a moment.
In a complete instant. And it can be lasting.
Yeah. So, if you're feeling like the idea of mastery of self seems like it's so far out, we also come in and out of that. For me, it's like, am I in alignment right now?
Right.
I can be out of alignment. But in an instant, in this very instant, I can be back
in.
You can
click back in. Yeah.
Totally.
It's a beautiful thing.
That's awesome.
We get to be new every moment.
We can probably, when we post this episode, like maybe put a link to that one.
Yeah, sure.
I think that would be a good one for people to listen to.
Yeah, that's great.
And then I've been receiving a lot of feedback from people, and I want to say thank you to everyone that has shared your thoughts or shared how this has made you feel, and I'd love to hear more.
Absolutely, I'd love to.
Was there anything specific that you guys wanted to address that anyone had messaged you?
No, I just, you know, the feedback that I've gotten from a couple of ladies was just that this was resonating, and I'm glad that that is there. And I also want to know, you know, what is pressing in you? What are you dealing with? And you know, be able to relate to those things, because chances are we're all going through it in one way or another.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten any feedback. Oh, which is fine, you know. I'll let it come to me.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people just be like, I listened. That was cool. And that's awesome, too.
Yeah, I appreciate people listening at all.
Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely. Your feedback is loved and welcomed. We would also love your reviews. They definitely help us grow. You know, we're aware that we're in the beginning stages of this and that the sound quality is not quite there. We're not hiring a babysitter to pat our babies' backs. We're letting them take part and steer us off track. Because, again, it's a big lesson in being like, we can do all of this at once.
Right.
You know, I can facilitate this child who's about to smash his face on a corner somewhere at every moment and still be present.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, please send your feedback in, leave an iTunes review, or if you're on Podomatic, leave a review, and
hit me up on the IG at SpiderSnakeWoman.
Quithy, you want to share yours again?
Quithy Cat, KWITHYKAT on Instagram.
And I'm on Instagram at Marshall Renee. Please follow along. We're going to be posting this episode. Send your questions in there. Or use the hashtag AskFruitOfThought on Instagram, Twitter, wherever you want to leave it. Awesome. Any closing thoughts?
No, have a good ass time mastering the moment.
Yeah, master moment.
Enjoy the ride.